So, not last week, but the week before, we went to Cannon Beach for the Village Missions Conference, and I had intended to say something about that when I came back the next week, but we were so busy last week that I didn't really find the time to do that. So I'm just going to mention a couple things. First of all, I just want to thank our church for supporting us and sending us down there. We had a great time, so thank you to all of you. And I realized something while I was there. I don't go to the beach. I don't walk in the sand. I don't go to Haystack Rock. I don't do any of that stuff. And you might think, that's really weird. But there's a little bit of goodness behind it. I realized that I used to do that stuff, and I've been to the beach so many times. And we go to Long Beach a lot of times, different than Cannon Beach. But I realized that when we first started going down there, we didn't know anybody, and we felt really uncomfortable. And we kind of hide out in our rooms a little bit, or we'd go down to the beach for a walk, and you know, we really weren't that comfortable down there. We didn't really know what to do. It felt like a long week, you know, probably couldn't wait to get home. But over the years, oh, I hope I'm not recording this so that my district representative and others at Village Mission see this, but that's kind of how you might feel at something like that, you know, and it's almost more like a work thing. You have to go do this. You have to go to Cannon Beach. I know that sounds odd, right? But I think that's how we felt, but over the years, we've got to know the other missionaries a lot more, and we have a lot more friendships, and I was realizing that this year, I go down to spend time with the people, not the beach, really. So one day, I went golfing with another one of the pastors. One day, I played games, bocce ball, out the park down at Cannon Beach with a group of eight people. We even got in they have an outdoor skate park, and we combined the outdoor skate park with bocce ball. It had a pretty interesting round there. And played some board games, some other games, learned some new card games, you know, and just worship and fellowship. And so I realized what I thought was really neat, just thinking, is about the people. And it's becoming more and more about the people. And really, that's how it should be, shouldn't it? So I was thankful for that, that the Lord showed me that. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into the sermon here. Actually, before I do, I'm having a little trouble here with this track. Because it's the OCD kind of thinking in me, I kind of feel like I should be like this. So if all of you would just move over here, we could pack this side out right here, and I'll just focus on this side, you know. But no, I'll have to get over it right here. Okay. There we go. Get off track. Yeah. Joe is ready to go. Thank you, Joe. All right, I'll get over it here. All right, so we're back in the book of James. Again, I told you guys we're going through this slow. I'm going to continue to go through it slow. There's going to be some weeks where we really pick up steam and we cover more verses, but not too many verses today. Let's read the passage that we're going to look at today. We're going to read James chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. It says, "Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time and place that we can gather together. And I want to thank you for each person who's here. It is my hope and my prayer to you, Father, that you would open up each and every heart to speak into each and every life exactly what you desire to say to each person who's here, that we would hear through your word from you loud and clear. We would understand what your word means and exactly how it applies to our life and the situations that we live in, Lord. And I pray today that you would be glorified by everything that we do and say. And I thank you for all who are serving and helping and who have given of themselves here and will continue to do that. And we'll be doing that at the VBS and in camp and all the things we have going on. And we thank you. We love you. We want to lift the summer up to you. We pray that this summer is a time that we all draw close to you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Back in the 1990s. This was early 1990s. I think it was 1990. There was a hit song called "I Want to Be Rich." Do you remember that song? Any of you remember that song? If I said some of the words, you would remember it. It goes something like this. I want money, lots and lots of money. I want the pie in the sky. You know, anyway, so that wasn't me singing. That wasn't me talking it, you know. But it was like one of the top songs on the Billboard, you know, for some period of time. And if you're a child of the 90s like myself, then you probably remember that. And I think it conveyed a thinking, and it was popular because a lot of people think that way. You know, in the beginning of the song, he talks about how the bill collectors are coming and they're coming after me. He's just like, if only I could be rich, I wouldn't have these problems. If only I could be rich, if only I had money, I wouldn't have these problems. And I think, how many of us have thought that way? How many of us have thought that we wish we had more money, or maybe we wish we were more successful, or maybe we wish we were better looking, or we wish we were more popular, or we wish we were something that the world considers to be on top, right? That's a common thinking in all of us. You know, it's going to be kind of be different for everyone here. Like some guys might look at some guy who's just totally ripped, and you might just think, man, I wish I was ripped like that guy. I mean, I tell you that some of the kids have told me about, in the youth, about how many pull-ups and things they're going to do and how hard they're going to work and what they're going to do. You know, so sometimes we look at the things that the world really likes and that people really praise, and we wish we were that. We wish we had that. And we see success. Now, if you look at the title of the sermon today, I've got this success in quotes because it's like our idea of success. Our idea of success, things that we're chasing after, things that we think are going to make us happy, things that we think are going to be better for us. We're going to be better off if we have this or if we're like that. And that's the kind of thinking I think that this passage that we're looking at today actually counters and explains to us a little differently. Now, we're going to go through a lot of verses today. Today's going to be one of those days where I'm going to give you a lot of verses, because I think to understand this well, and for me to explain this well, I have to back it up with Scripture and have to go to other places, and I have to explain, you know, what I think this really means and how it really applies to us today. So let's go into the scripture that we read, starting in James 1:9. It says, let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. I want to say this up front, that I don't think the Bible teaches a class warfare or class envy or Marxism or any of these kind of things, you know, that are about trying to take power from one group and give it to another group, okay? So I don't think that we should read this into this, and I'm going to show you why as we look at some other verses, when we talk about, you know, the poor and the rich. Okay, I really believe this, that if we have an idea, you know, you have an idea of what's rich, and somebody else might have a different idea about what's rich, but you may have people that have an abundance of wealth and possessions and money that can be really solid believers in Christ and do really good things and know how to use those means that God has given them and blessed them with for his kingdom and for his glory. And you could have people that we would also consider rich that would not be that way, right? And you can have people that are maybe what you would consider really poor. They don't have, you know, they're not even living paycheck to paycheck. They're not even making it. And those people can be really solid believers and they could really trust the Lord, or they can be people who love money and people who are greedy and people who do the wrong things. It's not like if somebody has a lot of money, they're bad, or if somebody doesn't have a lot of money, they're good. These are different things that are there that we're talking about. But in this case, when James was writing, he was writing to these believers that were in a particular situation. And to the best that we can tell and understanding is that as these Jewish Christians were scattered about, they didn't have a lot of resources. They were being taken advantage of by people that owned land, that people that could pay them wages, but sometimes withheld the wages. And so they were living that. That was the trial that they were living in at the time. So I think when it talks about the rich, in many ways, when it talks about the rich, it's talking about those people who were exercising power over the Jewish Christians and mistreating them. So when it's, especially as it speaks about the rich in a negative way, and as you look later in James, how that's mentioned. Now here it says, let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. I really like the way the NIV translates this. It's something along the lines of believers in humble circumstances. So he says, if you're a believer in humble circumstances, rather than thinking, like the song says, I want to be rich, or I wish I was the one with the power, or I wish I was the one who owned the land, you're in these humble circumstances. He says, you got to learn to think about that differently. He says, let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. Exaltation is the opposite of lowly. Exaltation means high. It's lifted high. You realize that you're in a high place. So he says to these Jewish Christians who are struggling, who are being taken advantage of, who are lowly and poor, and they're not successful in the world's eyes. They don't have the things that people chase after in the world. He says, you look at your position, and rather than thinking of it as a low position, you should think of it as a high position, high and lifted up and exalted. And the person who is rich, the person who has an abundance, the person who has everything that they need, this person should think about that instead of being a high position, like, look, I'm rich, I'm so well off, that this is a low position to be in. This is a humbling position to be in. That's how the rich should think about it, is humiliation. It's brought low, to be brought low. And he gives a reason for this. He says, because like the flower of the grass, he will pass away. And really, that's actually true for both the rich and the poor man, isn't it? Amen? It doesn't matter how much money you have. You can't take it with you when you go. I think, you know, as we've looked at some people who are among the richest, most successful in the world's eyes, one thing about them is they can't buy more time. They can't buy eternal life. They can't buy those things, and neither can we. None of us can, right? I think maybe when a person of the world that has so much success in the world faces the reality of death, it's probably, in many ways, it can be even harder because they're holding on so tight to this world that they've had so much success in. So in many ways, it's a spiritual disadvantage to have that, to have so much success. Now, I would say in our country that we live in a very prosperous land and a prosperous country, that we just all have that as citizens of the U.S., that we have so much prosperity that sometimes we want to hold on so tight to our stuff and to things. And there are other places now, like Africa, places in Africa where people have a lot of great poverty, but they have a closeness to the Lord and a dependence on the Lord. And now they're sending missionaries to us to reach us here because we need to be reached. Because in America, there are so many people that are lost. Okay, and it's now we've gone from being the ones who send out the missionaries to being the mission field. And so I think in some ways, when we read this, it'd be easy to say, like, well, I'm not rich. This is about someone else. You might also think, well, I'm not that poor either. You know, I'm somewhere in the middle. You know, okay, I think we learn from this on both ends of it. We learn from this. Now, I don't think this is just about money either. How many of you at any point in your life felt like an awkward person that didn't fit in? Have felt like you wish that you were popular or more accepted or this or that? Okay, again, you wish that you weren't in the low position. You wish that you were in the high position. But God is saying, don't think that way. There's a better way to think. The better way to think is that I look at when I'm not something. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. And that's okay. Because what we consider to be something isn't anything anyways. Amen? Amen. And that's the whole point, is that this idea of being rich or having money or having success, it is a temporary thing. Amen. It's not going to last. It's not going to be something you can take with you when you go. But you know what you can take with you? Your relationship with the Lord, your closeness with the Lord, your fellowship with other believers. Things that are eternal, things that matter. So the point is, we got to get focused on the things that really matter in this life, in the world that we live. Amen? And it's very easy to get caught up on the things that don't matter, that are temporary. And so the rich man is going to pass away just like the poor man. Now, in the book of James, you actually see a lot of the Sermon on the Mount. It is really present in the book of James as you read the book of James. So, for instance, and this is, I'm reading it from Luke, because it's a little more concise in Luke than Matthew, but it says, and he lifted up his eyes, and this is Jesus, and he lifted up his eyes and his disciples, and he said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. You see, in the Sermon on the Mount and in the book of James, when you look at things from an eternal perspective, everything gets turned upside down. Everything gets turned upside down. So where we think it's an advantage to be a somebody in the world and to have these things, actually it's an advantage to not be. To not be. To be a nobody or to have nothing. Because if we place our faith and our trust in God, one of the things that we're going to experience is He's going to give us everything that we've ever been lacking. And the fact is, if I have a God, a holy God, the creator of the universe, who loves me, sent His Son to die for me, and adopts me in His family, what else do I need? Amen? Amen? So you see the Sermon on the Mount here. In continuing back in James 1:11, he says, "For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, its flowers fall and its beauty perishes, so also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits." Now, we're different because I don't really want flowers growing in my grass. Those little yellow ones, you know, especially not those. And these preschool kids we have at the church, they love to pick those and give those as flowers and gifts to the teachers and blow them too. They love to do that and spread those around, you know. But if you go up to the mountain or something and you see the wildflowers growing in the grass, that's quite beautiful, right? Quite nice and quite desirable. But what James, as he writes, and he's continuing to talk about the rich man, the man who has all the success of this world. He says, the sun rises with its scorching heat. I mean, there are still pressures and difficulties and trials in this life and things that'll go on. And again, if you even just think about it, we went to Hawaii, and I remember thinking this about Hawaii. This is not recently, this is a while ago, but I remember thinking this. Man, I would stay outside all day in the sun if I only could. But you just can't. You can't stay out in that sun enough. It's too hot. You get too burned. There's just too much of it. You can't handle it. And I felt a little bit like this was really feeling the evidence of the fall, you know, the world that we live in. You know, like you can't live and enjoy the world that we live in as much as you would like to sometimes. And so the scorching heat, yet the sun, it does a lot of good things for us, but it can bring a lot of damage too. And if you're not watering your grass, like if you look out here in front of our church, I don't know if anybody noticed, we're not watering the grass this year. This is a perfect segue for me to mention that, okay? I forget a lot of things, man. I forget so many things. But a long time ago, I was supposed to go before the church. My wife and I were talking about this. You know, we made this plan, you know, because she notices stuff like that. I don't notice stuff like that a lot of times. She does. She says, we really got to get on this. Now, the reason why we're not watering is because all the sprinklers and all those things are hitting the building, and we did all that new siding on the front and painting. And I'm like, I don't want to turn those on until we get the sprinkler system working better. You know, I haven't had time to work on it, so the plan was, it's going to put it out there. Anybody out there good with sprinkler systems that could tune up our sprinkler system, would like to serve the Lord in that way? Let me know. Okay? In the meantime, the sun scorches the grass. Now I'm waiting for it to kill the flowers. Now we don't have enough sun here in Washington to kill the dandelions, right? You know, you cut the grass here and it's really a matter of knocking the weeds down, you know, in some ways, you know. And, you know, we'll get on that, we'll fertilize that. But that's something. I'm glad that this reminded me of that and I could throw that out there. But yeah, the sun can be quite destructive, and the trials of this world and age and disease and all these things that are part of the fallen world, the rich man lives in those things too. And they'll have his effect on him too, and he will fade away. He will fade away. Now, it talks about there being beauty, so there's this certain idea of beauty that perishes, right? And I think that's always true. Beauty that perishes. Something that's really beautiful and really impressive for now, it's not always going to be, right? And we see that, like you can think of the best looking man that you could possibly imagine, ladies, not going to last. The most beautiful woman, guys, that you could possibly imagine, some point, not going to be so beautiful, except for my wife. She'll always be beautiful, okay? All right, and I encourage all you men to think about your wives that way. I'm not asking you to think about my wife that way. I'm asking you to think about your wife that way. And to set the example for you guys, okay? Think about the greatest athletes in the world. They're so impressive. And then you see them some years later. It's like, okay, not that impressive anymore, right? In fact, I wonder sometimes if some of the like greatest basketball players and, you know, guys that you could see that could jump high, you don't see them doing much after a certain period of time. I think they still do things, but I don't think they want to be video recorded running around and jumping and doing things like that because they lost it. It's not there anymore. And that happens, and then it happens all the way to the end of this life, where in our bodies we fade away. We're not so impressive as we once were. And when it describes the rich man, though, it describes the rich man as fading away in the midst of his pursuits. So what's being described here is somebody who's going after it. He's going after things. And in this case, what he's probably going after and what that means is he's going after making money. He's going after acquiring more wealth. Could be more power. You know, I don't think it would have to be just this when we think about in terms of application. But there are things in this life that we could be pursuing. I bet we're all pursuing things. The most important thing to be pursuing is a close relationship with the Lord and fellowship with Him. Pursuing that, you know, pursuing God, pursuing Him with all of our hearts. Now, if we're putting all of our energy and all of our effort into other things, then we're pursuing those other things. So my question for everyone here today, and myself included, is what are you pursuing with your life? Are you pursuing the Lord, or are you in the midst, like the rich man, in the midst of pursuing something else? Wealth, success, fame, popularity, comfort, security. You know, what is your pursuit? Man's praise, for people to like you, to fit in. What are you pursuing? Now, those things could make you feel for a short time successful. You may feel for a short time successful, but it won't last. It's a temporary success and it's a temporary beauty. And so that's why I have the title here, Temporary Successes. It's more than money and more than wealth, but that's kind of in context what's being talked about. And we can spend all our time pursuing things that in the end won't matter. Or we can pursue things that are eternal. Now, the Word of God does not speak negatively about wealth. I want to make that clear, and this kind of goes back to what I'm saying about class warfare and envy. We live in a time where people are very envious of other people. It drives a lot of people crazy that there are billionaires. They're like, there shouldn't be these billionaires that have all this money. We need to find a way to take some of their money and distribute it to others so that the income gap can be smaller. That's what they say. Now, I don't think that works, personally. I think what happens is when you really try hard to take away from the people that are really successful in money-wise, we're talking about, you try to take away from that and give it to people, what happens is it ends up really just making everybody poor. You know, how are we enjoying that inflation right now? Are we having fun with that? How about those gas prices right now that we have? I mean, there's some factors there, but we have the highest gas prices in America right here in Washington State. Isn't that fun? Are you loving it? So, I would never try to promote any kind of ideas that people that have gained wealth are bad, or that's a bad thing, or there shouldn't be part of us that actually does work towards gaining wealth and think about things like retirement and the future and setting goals and what you're going to leave behind to your children, because all that stuff is in the Bible too. Amen? All that stuff is in the Bible too. Let's look at a few Proverbs here, okay? Proverbs 10:4, good buddy. That's how you can remember this one, okay? Proverbs 10:4. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Is it good to be diligent? Yes. Is it good to be slack or lazy? No. So basically what this verse in the Bible is telling us is by our own attitudes, by our own choices, by our own actions is going to cause an impact in our life and the resources that we have. So if we're a person who's lazy and slack, then we're going to pay the price for that. Amen? But a diligent person, somebody that is diligent about their work, that sets out to do it and works hard every day and thinks about what they need to do and is on top of things, not procrastinating everything, but very diligent, then that actually is, in most cases, and again, Proverbs is general truth, right? In most cases, what that leads to is somebody that has resources and has abundance of resources. Okay, so if you want to be really poor, then be really lazy. Okay? So Proverbs 13:11 says, "Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it." So this is like basically, if I had to translate this into modern language here, a person who wins the lottery blows it, but a person who works hard for their money and saves little by little, it continues to increase. All right, so that's what that verse is telling us. So again, this idea of working and investing and saving and those kind of things are not spoken of in a negative way, gaining wealth. Proverbs 14:23, "In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty." So work leads to profit. A lot of just big talk with your mouth about things leads to poverty. Amen? Proverbs 21:20. "Precious treasure and oil are in the wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it." So the wise man has what he needs, and he has things that are valuable. And he has that because of his wisdom and how he's been a steward over what God has given him. But the foolish man, he's always in need because everything he gets, he just devours it and has nothing for the future and has no means to set things aside. So we see this in the scripture, the word of God speaking rather positively in many places about, you know, wealth and riches and being wise with your finances and planning for the future. There are so many other verses that I didn't mention here as we look at it. But what the word of God does speak about is temptations and tendencies that come with wealth. Temptations and tendencies that come with wealth. Now, how many of you here are like, you don't have to answer this out loud, just say, "Man, I thought I was going to come to a sermon that had something to do with me. You know, I don't have any wealth, so this is all about somebody else." Anybody thinking that way? Cares to admit it? You know, this applies to you too. It applies to everybody, no matter how much money that you have. Because I think you can do this no matter what. But listen to what is a tendency for the rich man. For the people that have things, that have savings, okay? Proverbs 18:11 says, "A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his imagination." I love the way things are put in the song. It's in his imagination. Like he's like, "I'm set. I've got everything taken care of." No, you don't. No, you don't. You need to trust God and not trust your wealth. Ecclesiastes 5:10, again, tendencies of people that have. "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity." Something, you know, that Solomon's noticing here as he looks, he's like, it's like, you would think that, you know, kind of like that idea, well, if I only had the money to pay the bills, that would be enough. But there's this tendency in us that the more we have, the more we want. Want more, 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 and to never be satisfied. You don't want to find yourself in that position. Proverbs 11:28, "Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf." Don't trust in your wealth, but trust in God, and to be righteous is to have faith in the Lord. And that is going to be the most healthy thing for you. I think you probably know this one, 1 Timothy 6:10, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." Some people have said that money is the root of all evil. They've quoted this wrong, but it's not. Money's not the root of all evil. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." No matter what you have, if you have Jesus, you have everything, don't you? Amen. Now, about money and wealth, prepared a really like fascinating slide for you here, okay? There's a lot of wisdom in this, okay? And I've been told sometimes what you need just somebody to say, don't do this. Stop it. And this is like one of those slides, all right? So money and wealth, don't trust it. Don't love it. Don't crave it. Don't sin to get it. Don't covet your neighbor for it. Don't let it come between you and God. Amen. Because of your own flesh and your own sinfulness, it can. It doesn't have to, though. So if you incline your heart to the Lord and you seek the Lord and you're following him, we're all going to have some level of resources and wealth, okay? And probably one of the most helpful things is knowing that it's not yours, it's God's. Yeah. It belongs to the Lord, so you use it how God wants you to use it. And I want to also say, remember I talked about those other successes we can have? I think it applies in the same way. It applies in the same way. These other temporary successes we have here. You know, money, wealth. I put those as different. Because you might come into some money and that's actually different than having wealth. It's different. Okay, do I need to explain how it's different? You got it. You understand. Now, some people might not understand that. Okay, I think that sometimes you could come into money quickly, but that doesn't mean that you're really a wealthy person that has a lot and the ability to keep it. Okay? Now, another thing, these temporary successes would be popularity. Everyone may think really well of you for a period of time. Your looks, your athleticism, your intelligence, those things are temporary successes. Now, in Luke chapter 18, I've got two verses from this, but there's a lot more to it. So if you just put these two verses, 18, 24 through 25, up there. But I'm going to read more. I'm going to read the whole context, but these are the verses. Starting in verse 18, it says, "And a ruler asked him, 'Good teacher,'" this is Jesus, when Jesus was out preaching and teaching, "'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother.'" And me and especially Jeff Mundell, we talk about funny verses in the Bible. Like, these are funny verses in the Bible. We kind of get a little laugh at them. And this man said, "All these I have kept from my youth." Now, I'm having trouble believing that, because I don't believe it. Especially as Jesus teaches the standard for things, you know. "But when Jesus heard this, he said to him, 'One thing you still lack.'" And I don't think Jesus is saying this is what you have to do to be saved by any means. But I think he's showing this man where he's really not fully abandoned to God. Okay? He says, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And I share that to show you how that actually, the wealth that you have, the possessions you have, can really come between you and the Lord. And it's your job to not let that ever happen to you. Back in James 1:11, "For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, its flowers falls and its beauty perishes, so also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits." And that one, as I was reading it, it hit me. In the midst of his pursuits, in the midst of his pursuits. And I've already asked you about this, but, you know, are you pursuing these temporary successes and pleasures when you should be pursuing the Lord? Now, an example of that, Luke 12, same thing. I got a few more verses than this, but I put the main verse up here, but I'll read the whole thing in context. Luke 12, 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. We're having a fight in our family because our father died, and I want my brother to divide the inheritance with me. You know, he's the executor, and I want him to give me my share and to do it fairly." So they're squabbling about money, and that happens a lot with people. But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Jesus gives him a correction. And maybe he understands something about this man. And he tells him what he needs to watch out for and be on guard against. Be on guard against covetousness in your life. That you're not looking at something that somebody else has and saying, "I want that, I need that, I've got to have that." And your life is about more than that. It's about more than the possessions that you have. And he told them a parable saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have a big enough 401k. You have enough money in stocks. You have all these things and you never have to work again. And you just sit down at the beach and no one can tell you what to do.'" Okay, I'm putting this in my own words, but that's along the lines of what he's saying. Let me go back to what it actually says. He says, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'" So we need to be much more concerned with being rich towards God. Being rich towards God, building that relationship with God, serving Him, following Him, obeying Him, seeking Him, focusing on what's eternal, you know, not what is temporary. I think I got one amen in the back. Now back to James 1:12, just to conclude this. And this is going to be kind of our bridge verse for next time. We're going to cover this verse both today and next time, so I'm not going to really cover it extremely thoroughly. But it says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him." And this, a lot of this has been about trial that we've been looking at in James 1. And I think it was the trial of the people who were being mistreated by those who had the wealth, and they didn't have the wealth, and they were being mistreated. And I could actually take this another way. Look at this another way. Look, whether you have a lot or a little bit, you can be tempted. For some people, to gain great wealth, that can become great trial in their life. A great trial in their life. And that no matter whether you have a lot or you have a little, what God really wants from you, and what the scripture is really calling for you to is steadfastness. Steadfastness, that you can grow and you can carry a heavy load and you cannot get knocked off course. And that's what God wants from us. And He wants us to stand through any trials and tests that we go through. And to stand on Him and to trust Him and to prove yourself faithful in what you do. And then it says that when you've stood the test of time, it says He will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love Him. Remember, I talked about this one already earlier, not today, but in one of the previous sermons. I don't think it's a physical crown that you're getting, but you're getting life in the Lord, and there's nothing better. But who gets to live, and who gets to live with Jesus, and who gets to spend all eternity with Him? Well, it's the people that love Him. And so this scripture that we've looked at today, it has called us to do a check on our affections. Do we love the things of the world? Do we love the successes of the world that don't matter and won't matter? Or do we love what truly matters and He who truly matters and He who is eternal? Amen? Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for today. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for the book of James. Thank You for Your encouragement to us. Thank You for just how You say it, Lord. No one else can say it the way You say it. We thank you for that. We ask today that you would convict us if we need conviction, Lord. You would show us where our priorities have been out of whack, Lord. And you would lead us into the kind of life that you want us to live with the kind of heart you want us to have. Do that by your Holy Spirit. We thank you. We love you. We praise you. And now we just thank you so much that we get to stand and sing to you once more. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.